This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I think Zach Wilson is the guy who has to start. I call him into the office and say, you're starting against the Bears, and if you're awful, we're pulling you. There will be either Mike White or Joe Flacco. They're coming in. So you cannot continue to play this way. Now, if I'm Zach Wilson, I come right back with, you want me to play better, then you have to let me open it up. Let my freak fly. Let me throw off-schedule throws. Let me take chances. Wouldn't you rather Zach Wilson throw three interceptions and get 400 yards in the air than what they're doing now? They've neutered the guy.
Yeah, you got to find out what you have. If the Jets feel like there's something still there, then you got to find out if you got it or not. Why are we so caught up in making the playoffs? Isn't the most important thing finding out if you got a quarterback or not?
The Michael K. Show.
Let him throw the ball.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I'm not going to make a big deal of this, but it certainly struck me when I was reading it. So the New York Times had this huge story, and believe me, we are very fortunate to have gambling apps and sponsors like that. I mean, they help keep the show afloat. But there has to be some limitations, and what the Times wrote, that they specified Michigan State and LSU, where they signed deals to have on-campus, in-stadium, in-arena signage where everything is plastered with a gambling app. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the students to download these apps. And in the case of, I believe it was LSU, they get $30. The school gets $30 from the website in addition to the extra money for every kid that downloads the app and bets with it.
Oh, are you talking about the Barstool article in the Times?
I don't think it was Barstool.
Oh, it wasn't about the Barstool.
No.
It was a different article.
Just a different article. And, I mean, half the kids in college are not old enough to gamble. So there was a mass email sent out that you get $1,000 in free bets, and many of them were sent to kids that were underage.
Wow.
And when you look at what Michigan State and LSU made, it's like $700,000. While they're trying to make up the money that they lost from the pandemic, which was like $15 million a school. Really? So the $700,000 you're getting from a gambling site, you're going to sell your soul for that? I mean, you shouldn't be. Listen, if you're an adult, you have the right to make the decision whether you want to gamble or not. That's why I have no problem reading gambling ads. Everybody who's reading it, well, you know, it could cause a problem. Well, make sure that it doesn't. Make sure that it doesn't. But when you're putting it right on the plate of people that don't have a lot of money, that might get themselves into trouble, I mean, really, Michigan State and LSU, you need that money that badly?
Well, how is it any different than alcohol? A lot of younger kids in college aren't old enough to drink.
I get it, but they're not sending out like email blasts, have a butt on us.
They might. I don't know. They got advertising all over the place, right? It's sponsored everywhere, right? So I understand that you got to be careful with this stuff, Michael. But at the same time, you're either in or you're out, right? They've decided to get in with these gambling sites, and they're going to try to get as much money out of it as possible. And advertising is part of it. And you've got 18, 19, 20-year-old kids in buildings, and all they see, all they're inundated with, is alcohol ads. And they can't buy alcohol.
Right.
So does that mean they shouldn't advertise alcohol because half the people in the building might be too young? Same with the gambling.
You bring up a good point, but I think that the way this was presented, that it's so aggressive and almost intrusive to get to the kids, that a school makes $30 every time a kid places the first bet. I mean, you're really pushing the does a school get $30 from Budweiser when a kid has a six-pack?
Well,
it just seems wrong to me.
That sounds insane. And then you factor on top of that. Have you guys ever looked at the size of endowments for these schools are?
Right. So they lost $15 million during the pandemic. A lot of people lost money during the pandemic.
Do you guys know what the biggest endowment is in the country?
No.
I just heard this the other day. It's not like I study this, but you can guess what school it is, perhaps.
An Ivy League school?
Correct.
Harvard?
Correct.
Okay.
Number one. Dom, what would you think their endowment is?
Oh, I couldn't even imagine.
Close to a billion?
Close to $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you it was $53 billion? All the way down to number nine is University of Michigan. $17 billion. these schools shouldn't even be allowed to charge people. It's absolutely crazy. And then you need to make money on top of everything. Tuition's not enough. You have to make money from the gambling sites to maybe, let's be honest, someone in your class, and I recognize, I endorse gambling, I do that. But to specifically target college kids, people who are just getting control of a credit card.
Right.
That's specifically who you're targeting.
And
that's tough,
and,
man.
And I know it's like this in New Jersey, and I believe it's like this in New York. You're inundating these people with gambling sites, and they're not allowed to bet on the game they're at.
Right.
Because I live in New Jersey. I can't bet on Rutgers.
Right.
You live in New York. You can't bet on St. John's. I'm assuming it's that way. So they're getting email blasts to download the gambling app, and they're on their way to go to Michigan, Ohio State, and they can't bet on the game.
So weird, man.
Which I also don't understand, too. Like, all this gambling's around, but you can't bet on Rutgers. Why? Because I might fix the game? But Michael in New York can't fix the game, and he can bet on Rutgers?
Yeah, it's you know, so if you live in Englewood, right? You can't bet. But if you live in Washington Heights and you just get on the bridge and go to Jersey,
right?
You can bet.
That was the joke when New York was illegal and New Jersey was okay. You know,
right.
People are riding their 10 speeds over the George Washington Bridge, stopping at the border, you know, and making bets. It was ridiculous. But listen, I get it, Michael. But at the same time, there's money to be made. They know they can make money from it. It is legal.
No,
and you're not allowed to bet if you're under 21. So you hope that those things are able to get through that.
Well, then with according to the story, like the board of regents of these schools were outraged. They weren't even asked. And there's a middle company that puts these deals together, and they get like a third of the money that the gambling site would give to the school. And listen, I'm not holier than thou. And I think that there is a price where you sell your soul. But $700,000 a year, you're going to sell your soul if you're a university that has, as Peter said, endowments of over $1 billion. It's a bad look.
It's a bad look, but I guess they're willing to take that bad look if it means $700,000 in the hopper.
$700,000? I mean, that doesn't even pay a month of Tom Izzo's salary as the basketball coach at Michigan State.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. Like all, especially these state institutions where the head coach is the highest paid employee in the state.
All right, let's move on to Judge. So there's outrage amongst Yankee fans and Yankee universe that Judge is in San Francisco today meeting with the Giants.
Is there really?
Yeah. I can't believe this. I don't want to see this. What did you expect him to do? So the Yankees were going to make him an offer, and he went out and put an MVP season on the board, broke the American League home run record. And he's not going to test the market?
Did you think he wasn't serious? He said he's testing free agency.
Of course. And Joel Sherman has a great column on the website, the Post website right now. This guy's a poker player. You know, he turned down $213.5 million, generational wealth from the Yankees, and said, you know, I'll bet on myself. So then he played a whole year and actually bet on himself and won bigger than anybody could ever imagine. So the Yankees made him an offer, probably. And it's probably not enough for him. If they were going to make him an offer and not have him go to any other team, they would probably have to pay way more than they wanted to. So Brian Cashman said earlier this week that they made him an offer. Well, I guess he wants more. So why would you be shocked that he's going to see San Francisco? Well,
even if it means just driving up the price for the Yankees, but you know, he probably wants to check these things out. I'm just trying to remember, has he ever played in Oracle?
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't swear to it.
I know during his time the Giants have been here. Just don't ever remember if they were in San Francisco. Obviously they stay in San Francisco when they play Oakland, right?
Mm-hmm. And he's from Linden,
so he knows the area, but he probably wants to see the building, and they're gonna talk to him face to face, and they're gonna make him an offer. And his agent's gonna go back to the Yankees. The Yankees have to know what they're dealing with, and there has to be a number that's set. So he's gonna check these things out. He is seriously testing free agency, and testing free agency is visiting these places. The Players Association wants him to do this, too. They want him to go and drive the money up.
Let's say, right, that the Yankees made him a very generous offer. And I would say that after he turned down 213 and he put a near Triple Crown season, MVP season together, that they probably made him a great offer. Well, unless he goes and solicits bids from other teams, why would the Yankees go up?
Yeah, they're not going to bid against themselves. They're going to bid against somebody else's offer.
I mean, I think he would be doing himself a disservice if he didn't get offers from other teams.
And also, he has to play it serious. Like, the Giants aren't just going to make him an offer on spec, right? They're going to want to know they've got a chance to get him.
Right.
And so he's got to play the game. He's got to fly out to San Francisco, check out the building, check out the schools in San Francisco. Here's where you could live, all that stuff. Because why would San Francisco go through the dog and pony show unless they think they have a chance to sign him, right? So it's got to be legitimate. So even if he's thinking, I'm going to sign with the Yankees, make it look as sellable and marketable as possible. Get the Yankees nervous to drive up the price.
If he's
just taking phone calls, Michael, the Yankees wouldn't take that seriously.
No, and maybe a team, you know, during the heart of COVID, you know, he could do a Zoom call, but he does have family out there. They live out there. So going to San Francisco is not a big deal. Now, is he going to start a recruiting tour? I have no idea. But he's earned the right to do that. I will tell you this. Everybody, well, what do you think is going to happen? And I always say, I had been saying for a while 50-50 that he comes back. Now I think it's 65-35 that he comes back. But somebody could blow him. I just, all like Rizzo coming back, the fact that he's spoken in person to Hal Steinbrenner a couple of times, that's a hands-on approach by the owner. So the Yankees serious about this, and they're going to make him a great offer. But I think he wants to come back to the Yankees. I know the Yankees want him back. But somebody can make an otherworldly offer. And Jack Curry had a great point yesterday on the Yes Hot Stove show. Aaron Judge has to decide right now, do you want to be Derek Jeter or do you want to be Robinson Cano? Now, take aside what happened with Cano with PEDs. I'm sure the day he stepped into Seattle, he regretted leaving the Yankees. Derek Jeter never really shopped himself. Told his agent, I only want to sign with the Yankees. Probably cost himself millions every now and then, but he made a lot of money, and his star is attached to the pinstripes, the interlocking NY. Do you want to be Cano, who sought out the last dollar, or do you want to be Jeter?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, if he signs the deal that the Yankees offered him, it's going to be an unbelievable deal. Generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants to be the highest paid player and be Robinson Cano, I think the day he steps into Oracle Park and says, I got to play here for 10 years, he's not going to be happy. I think in his soul, he knows what it means to be a Yankee.
I don't take this the wrong way. I think that's from Yankee-colored glasses. This is not Seattle. San Francisco, they've won there before.
But they don't go to the playoffs a lot.
Well, but they won 107 games just 2 years ago. I mean, they're a well-run organization. You go to Seattle, they haven't been well-run, Michael. They haven't even been to a World Series in history, and it's been a long time since they've been relevant. They finally made the playoffs for the first time since when? San Francisco can say, listen, we got a great fan base. They need that superstar. It's not the same as going to Seattle. He's from California. I agree with you. Being a Yankee is probably better, but if he goes and plays for the San Francisco Giants for the next 8, 9, 10 years, he can win a championship and be famous, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in San Francisco, like Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt, and they could bring out, you know, Buster Posey and Matt Cain from back in the past to go, this is a great place to play. The fans love you. They're never going to boo you. You got a chance to win here. You'll be a god forever. Remember, this is the place that actually loves Barry Bonds. The rest of the country hates Barry Bonds, but they love him here in San Francisco because they've got a great and passionate fan base that's going to love you forever. I think San Francisco I think Judge to San Francisco is different than Cano to Seattle.
Well, San Francisco is certainly more established and more, you know, it's certainly not as long a flight to anywhere from Seattle. And I love Seattle. I love the city. But I think there is something that if you come up through the Yankee system that you want that number on that left field wall. He'll never get 99 on that wall if he leaves. So where do you belong? Where's your roots? Jeter knew his roots were with the Yankees. So Cano has no roots now. And yeah, Judge, well, so what's it going to be? He's going to be a Giant all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, you could be. I mean, it worked for Barry. Barry spent a long time in Pittsburgh, was building towards a Hall of Fame career, and now he's a San Francisco Giant forever.
And my guess is that that's exactly what would happen. That would be it. It would be San Francisco for life.
You don't think Harper can build his numbers up to where he could be a forever Philly?
Even though he spent
a lot of time in Washington?
I think so.
You know, or Machado in San Diego? You know, so there have been players, Michael, that have gone to the Hall of Fame and have been loved that didn't establish themselves at the place in which they were loved.
Or they did, and reestablish themselves in the new place.
Yeah, and you're right. You did hit on the nose. Maybe it's my involvement with the Yankees for 36 years that I think that it's a special place to play and a special place to hang your star.
Yeah, and you're not wrong about what you say. It's just a matter of trying to get in a judge's head. But you gave a couple of examples, one being Robinson Cano probably regrets going out there, just as much as probably the Yankees regret getting Jacoby Ellsbury to replace him.
Right.
But San Francisco's different than Seattle, and he can build up his numbers to where, you know, you could split time. I mean, you know, Pete Rose was just honored by the Philadelphia Phillies this past season for his time there in Philly. We always think of him as a Red, but he spent time in Montreal and Philadelphia, established himself in both places.
How about Gary Carter?
Yeah, he's
great
a forever
career Expo.
Yep.
And he's a forever
and
Met.
Forever Met. Got both.
You know, and now maybe when Judge goes into the Hall of Fame, it might be a very difficult decision what hat you're going to wear. I mean, you know, even Greg Maddux was a great Cub and now a Brave. I mean, there's been a lot of examples of leaving.
And a Raven.
Mussina.
Right. And, you know, players don't choose the hat anymore. Hall of Fame does.
That's gone?
Yeah, they took that away because players were monetizing it. They'd go to the two teams and go, all right, who's going to give me the most money?
Wow. What was it, George? Was it the...
Winfield.
All right, the Winfield.
Yeah, I think the Padres offered Winfield like, some kind of lifetime gig. So, I mean, he spent 9 years with the Yankees. I think that was more than he spent with San Diego.
Did Reggie Jackson go in as a Yankee?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what about Reggie? How many teams does Reggie have forever with?
Yeah, he also only spent 5 years with the Yankees, got his number retired.
Ricky Anderson is a forever with 17 different teams.
Yes. This might move the needle a little bit.
Okay.
Somebody at MLB.com got a hold of the Sexiest Man Alive issue from People.
This is big.
Aaron Judge is fourth.
That's inaccurate.
What do you mean? How do you know?
99, baby.
But he's not sexy. He hits the ball 500 feet, he looks less like Shrek. But if he was our program director, we would say he looks like,
I'm gonna
forget whether
Natalie.
It's Beavis or Butthead or Shrek.
I think he's a good-looking guy.
No,
what's
not,
wrong
not
with you?
All.
I'm asking
not,
Natalie.
Not,
he's a big, strapping guy.
No, he's very big, muscular guy. I don't sit there and manalize, but I don't look at him and say that that's an attractive guy.
Now, I'll tell
like
you one
Jimmy
thing.
G, I get what you say about Jimmy G.
Well, Jimmy G is, he's undeniable. However, the thing about baseball is, baseball players, Natalie pointed this out recently, and I think it's really true, they have the sexiest uniforms by far. You have the opportunity to look sexy as a baseball player. If you're in great shape, I mean, I'm not talking about Daniel Vogelbach, with all due respect, but if you're in great shape and you're a big guy,
I'm a big boy.
Form-fitting jersey. Yeah,
I mean, hockey players get the shoulder pad. Football players,
basketball players. Look like.
You could probably look sexy as a basketball player.
I've been working with him for 20 years. It's the most outrageous take I've ever heard.
What, that Judge isn't attractive?
Yeah.
I think he went a little far by mentioning Shrek, but I don't think Judge is fourth sexiest man alive.
No.
Well, Chris Evans is on the cover, Captain America.
Can't argue with that.
That's tough to debate.
And they don't have it all, but they say that...
Doesn't it feel like Chris Evans immediately replaced Chris Pratt? Like, I feel like Chris Pratt got famous.
Same guy.
And immediately Chris Evans, like, no, I'm the real Chris.
Yeah, that was unfair.
So they say that he's sexier than The Rock, but a touch less smoldering than George Clooney.
Clooney's three?
I guess. But they don't say who two is.
Oh, hey.
So five is...
Dwayne?
Is The Rock, yeah.
The Rock's a handsome man, but he's a very big bald head. It's a gargantuan. He's a gargantuan.
Now, I got to show you. I can't show him. A DiPietro text. The one on the bottom.
You can't show me?
Yeah,
you can. No. Yeah, you can. He won't be offended by that.
All right.
You remember the toast the other day?
Yeah. It's nothing. I can't. I usually go back and tell Nancy everything. I can't tell her.
But you can't. You can laugh at that though.
Yeah, I can. Well,
not legally.
Because she'll never know what was. If she knew what was just text,
right?
The only thing I can do to save face is walk out of the room or to completely disown Rick. That's why I can't say. You know, since we're going to
for those that are wondering, I mean, he's saying that if Judge became a giant, then Nancy would worship. At the altar
but that's,
of Judge.
You know,
but it was much more colorful.
It was much more colorful.
It involved vegetables.
Now you just gave up too much. Now, Rick, I'm sorry we're done. I'm sorry, Rick, we're done. I mean, Nancy's not stupid. She knows. She can figure it out.
But she's also not listening.
Now, That is true.
She's definitely not.
She has taken the kids to Chuck E. Cheese. She wishes she was listening.
Oh wow!
At this point,
you
know, since we're analyzing,
okay,
you know who still has it, even though he's a touch gray and getting older?
Me,
Steve DeBerg again.
No, Patrick Dempsey.
We suck.
Now he was
what?
Now the reason I know this is because you know
we suck.
Disney Plus debuted Disenchanted last
How
night.
Was
so
that?
We had that. Listen, they started singing and I lost out. But
he hates musicals.
Yeah,
he
really
always
does.
Has.
Yep.
Except for Grease.
Yeah, Grease for whatever reason.
Grease. What about Jersey Boys?
No,
that was a great show.
It's all Frankie Valli music.
Great show.
But Patrick Dempsey, I think, still
got it.
That's a good looking guy. Like again, I don't want to be the guy to say that Judge is ugly. He's not ugly. But he's not good looking to sexiest man alive.
Can I say something?
But sexy doesn't mean good looking.
But he's not
true. But can I say something?
I think Stanton's significantly sexier than Judge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
good looking
guy. That's Bill.
I'm accused of manalizing. I would never talk about a sexy man.
I think Dan Cross is a very attractive guy.
Jimmy G's a handsome man, like almost perfect.
Well, the list is sexy. All I mean is good looking, but the list is called sexy.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, although, listen, women love, what's his face? Harry Styles. He's not traditionally handsome.
No.
Here's where it comes. This is why we're all.
Don doesn't know who Harry Styles is.
By the way,
I heard the name.
I've only recently started to truly know the power of Harry Styles.
Well, it's unbelievable.
I mean, you're the father to a young daughter, so
right.
you found out sooner.
But Michael's right about the sexy. We're looking at it all wrong. I mean, come on. Mick Jagger is homely. Do
yep.
we agree?
Yep.
And yet, even pushing 80, he's still considered sexy to women.
You think so?
Steven Tyler, too. The guy's a mess. Does he not dress like a woman?
I
love Aerosmith, but is he not? He does not shop in men's stores.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a different style, I would say, for Steven Tyler.
Why am I bad for saying everything that you have on your mind?
Because you can't do that on radio.
Yeah, that's not what makes Steven Tyler look weird. It's his face and the work he's had right. done that makes him look
But
weird.
He's still considered sexy.
By who? That's where I'm pushing back. By who? I want
I
you
think
to meet
it'd be
the
by
one.
Whom?
By whom? Whom is saying such a thing?
All right, let's tell it off. This was some segment.
Some
wow. I'm sure that Aaron Judge is pleased by what you said. Aaron, I think you're handsome, sexy, the whole deal, and you deserve whatever you could get. Don't listen to Don. Don's not exactly an oil painting anyway. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7
ESPN. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Listen up, I'm focusing. Now.
Number
you got my
one
attention.
Is Chris Evans.
Let me see what Chris
Does he
Evans.
Not dress like a woman?
Let me see what Chris Evans looks like. By
All right, way. Number two is Kendrick Lamar.
Okay. Well, this list is just absurd.
Why?
I love Kendrick. I consider Kendrick a friend. I truly care
but you
for
don't
him.
Find him sexy.
Second sexiest man in the world?
Yep.
I've never heard that from any of my lady friends.
Number three is George Clooney, who has been two-time sexiest man alive before.
I kind of feel like two-time isn't enough for Clooney.
Yeah,
he's
amazing.
Considering the icon. I mean, Kendrick is a handsome man. I've just never heard anyone refer to him as sexy before.
Number four is Aaron Judge.
Ridiculous.
Number five is Robert Pattinson.
Okay.
Stand by. Who is that?
Batman. The Batman.
He's famous for being handsome, so it's not surprising.
Number six, I've never heard of this man in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He, Kei Huai Quan.
Okay.
Recently made a triumphant return to acting after 20 years away.
And how do you spell it?
Kei Huai Quan. Number seven is Jack Harlow.
Okay, this whole list is like...
Number eight is the comedian who used to date... what's her name?
Is it Eddie Izzard by any chance?
No. Joe Coy.
Is Joe Coy his number...
Number eight. He dated...
I don't know. He dated someone famous?
Yeah, the comedian that used to have the show on E.
Joan Rivers.
No, you know her. She had the show on E, the talk show.
Chelsea Handler. Joe Coy. Yeah. I love Joe Coy. Funny comedian. He's the number eight. This list is the craziest I've ever heard them do.
Number nine, Diego Luna of Star Wars Andor.
Okay, don't know who that is. I'm looking.
And number 10 is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
There you have it.
That list is a joke.
You don't like it at all.
So maybe Don should respond with the top five sexiest men list.
Why don't you do top five sexiest radio hosts in the city?
I could just rank the top five sexiest on this station.
All right, do it now.
Yeah, go ahead. Freestyle it. You can do it.
I guess Rick would have to be one.
Of course.
Alan Hahn, two.
That's not
surprising.
No. Yeah, one and two. Handsome guys.
Yeah, one and two. That you expect that.
I'm just going through the lineup. I think even though he's only on part-time, Mike Greenberg is a very good-looking guy.
Very good, yeah.
You don't think so?
I think he's fine. I don't know if I'd jump him up to... I love Greeny. Love him.
Well, I'm just going through just the people that are on our radio station.
I don't know.
You don't think that Damer is better looking than Greeny?
I believe I'm better looking than Greeny.
No.
I believe Peter would be on that list.
I believe I'm better looking than
Peter
Greeny.
Peter would be on that. Well, I didn't... I'm just going through. I'm not married to Greeny.
Because he's not a Madeline.
Who are you taking out?
Yeah.
Rick is number one, Hans
with
two.
Wait, by the way, Rick's number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
I'd put Peter three.
Thank my God.
Yes. Jumped up there. Thank you, Don.
I'd put Ty Butler four.
Wow.
Yep. I could see that.
Young Ty and his sexy voice.
And five?
Michael's looking around.
No, it's not me. He doesn't think of me like that.
He doesn't think of me like that. He doesn't look at you that way.
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
We suck.
What about, wait, did you say Dame?
I'm it's really between Gordon and Greeny.
Ooh, that's a battle. Put up a bracket.
And I've known them both forever, but I've known Gordon longer. Yeah, I'm going to go Gordon 5.
Wow. How about Jay Williams?
Well, he's not local. Well, Greeny's not local.
He's on our station.
He's on our station.
And Max is also a good-looking guy, too. But I'm going to stick with my list. Number 5, Gordon Damer.
Okay.
Number 4, Ty Butler.
Okay.
Number 3, Peter Rosenberg.
Thank you.
Number 2, Alan Hahn. And number 1, Rick DiPietro.
Big gap. Who are you taking out?
Big gap between two and three.
Just for kicks and giggles, was I close?
Yeah, I mean, you're among...
You thought about it.
You would probably be among the honorable mentions. Yeah, I mean, Dan Grasso would be an honorable mention.
Oh, yeah,
you would be an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Jay Will, as you said, Max would be an honorable mention, too.
Not everyone can make the list.
Bart Scott.
But on what earth is Peter 3?
God's green.
He's really put together.
God's green earth.
When you consider what he's got going on with his beard,
Thank you.
The decision to do what he's done with his bald head, I think, was a great move.
Thank you.
He takes care of himself.
I'm working out a little bit here and there.
Not today, brother, but usually dresses very well.
Not today.
Thank you.
Today I was in a bit of a rush. Had a lot.
So who are you taking? You taking Peter?
He's taking me. Ugly.
Peter would not be in the top five. Neither would I.
Not top five.
No,
I think I would be. Mm. Now I'm admitting there's a big gap between two and three. I admit that big gap between two and three.
I mean, the first two were easy.
They're tough.
Can't even argue with that. Even Michael has got to be happy with Rick one, and there's nothing wrong with Alan at two.
Well, this show is really we're covering things I did not anticipate today.
Because we are open to having these types of conversations.
If I was so inclined, I would date Rick and Alan.
I'm sorry?
If I was so inclined, those are two guys I would date. I wouldn't date anybody else on the station. Not even close.
You mean from a physical standpoint?
Also mental. They're very bright. I'm just, you know, Don really did surprise the masses, though.
Hmm.
So it's just, it's total looks with Don because he loves Dan Grosso like no one else other than Nancy.
The list was sexiest.
Right.
No, just being honest.
I know. You always
but,
are.
But who am I close? You want a list of the people that I'm closest to?
Well, that
and Dan's one.
Yeah, Dan
Gordon's
is one.
Two. Larry Hardesty's three.
So Dan and Gordon didn't send packages to congratulate us. Larry did. Doesn't that move him up over one of them?
No. I just think that it's, Dan's always been there for me. He was at my aunt's wake during the pandemic, not during the height of COVID.
I gave you thoughts and prayers.
Well, I love you too, but you got to put it in some order, right, Peter?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Daniel in Mount Laurel. Daniel.
Daniel the Manual.
Danny.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
All good.
Great, great. Today's my birthday. And
happy birthday.
I'm so excited to talk to all three of you. No better way to celebrate my 27th birthday than to talk to all three of you.
Happy birthday.
So I want to thank you so much, guys. So I want to make a point about Judge, and then I have to ask you a question, Michael, because there's something that's surfacing online about the Yankees that I kind of want to get your take on.
All right.
The Judge thing. You know, the Dodgers have to be taken seriously. You know, they just cleared $100 million, and they check all the boxes. And I also think the Giants should be taken very seriously, too. I mean, I know he's over there now. If you look on Spotrac.com, where you can look at, you know, the money committed to all these players, Giants don't have a lot of money on their books. So they have a lot of flexibility, and they can offer Judge $400 million.
I think they have $18 million on their books right now.
I think the only player they're paying right now is Anthony DeSclafani and Wilmer Flores. That's really it. And then everybody else is on all
and Crawford, too.
Crawford, yeah. But he's on the last year of his contract. Yeah.
Oh,
so
they can offer him
a lot of money. Yep. But also.
Right. They could offer 400 plus.
Yeah, they could. And that's the gamble you take. Yeah,
but
the
here's the difference between the Giants and the Dodgers. The Giants can sign him and compete for a World Series right away. Giants still have a lot of building around him to do. Belt's older. Crawford's older. That rotation is not what it was 2 years ago. So if he's got, you know, the money and the chance to win, guys, the Giants would probably be third behind the Yankees and the Dodgers as far as a chance to compete in 2023.
So. But and then I just wanted to ask a question. So I don't know if you guys caught wind of this, but Alek Manoah, the elite starting pitcher on the Blue Jays yesterday,
he was on a podcast. Saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, Peter, I don't know if you covered this at ENN yesterday. Sorry, I couldn't get a chance.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't. Go ahead.
Okay, but so we've had the Black Sox scandal. We've had the Astros cheat, the buzzers, the illegal bats, all kinds of cheating scandals in baseball. And this guy just immediately points to Gerrit Cole as the biggest cheater in baseball.
I didn't get it, Daniel. It made no sense. It's stupid for him to say. And for those that didn't see it, he was being interviewed by a chef, and he said, "Who's the biggest cheater in baseball?" And he said, "Gerrit Cole." I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know how many people use sticky stuff if, in fact, Gerrit Cole did? You know how many people do that? And the Astros are admitted cheaters. Admitted cheaters. Bregman was on that team. Altuve was on that team. Admitted cheaters. And you're going to say that Gerrit Cole is? Listen, Alek Manoah is a heck of a pitcher. That's a stupid, stupid thing to say. You got to face this guy at some point. And you know what? One day you might become a free agent and sign with the Yankees, and there's Gerrit Cole waiting for you.
He might have just choked. It was like a silly-seeming interview, and maybe he was caught off guard.
But why would you think Gerrit Cole's the biggest cheater? Of all the pitchers in the world, Gerrit Cole's the biggest
cheater? There are a lot of people who believe that the second the sticky stuff got cut down on, his game completely changed.
Okay, so you could say his game completely changed, right? So without the sticky stuff, in 2021, he finished in the top five in Cy Young without the sticky stuff.
Yeah, and all those Astros are still very good.
Right.
So you can't go. But that's the Astros' defense.
But my point is the Astros have admitted to cheating.
No,
you're going to say the biggest cheater is a guy who didn't admit to cheating?
No, I'm not arguing that. I don't think he should be considered the biggest cheater, but I always get a little defensive when I hear about or a little dubious, I should say, the whole idea of, well, you know, look how good he was after the stick. Listen, these guys are all good, and all those Astros are still good. The Astros cheated and just won the World Series, you know, and everybody assumes that they were clean, right? So the fact that he was able to bounce back, but I think what people are going to look at is he's on the list, Michael. This guy was lights out, parlayed into a huge contract, and you know that players keep score on that.
And they also had words during the season where Manoah challenged Cole to step farther out onto the field if you don't like something. I don't know how players do it. And God did me a favor not giving me any athletic talent, because if somebody said something like that about me, I'd hunt them down the next year.
Wow.
Hunt them down the last year. The very next year.
Well,
it would bother me to no stretch of the imagination. I can't even articulate how much it would bother me.
But, you know, pitchers can do this because they don't have to face other pitchers anymore.
Well, you know what?
I'm not going to get hit.
Let's say that Cole's really fired up and drills one of the Blue Jay stars.
Yeah.
And then after the game said, well, you know what? It got away from me. I was thinking about what Alec Manoah said. It just got away from me. I wasn't concentrating. I don't get it. Manoah is a great pitcher. Why say something like that? You don't think this guy? I think everybody.
What if he knows things we don't know?
But I think everybody tries to get an edge on every team, and they probably go right up to the line.
But,
you don't think anybody on the Blue Jays does something that you can say right up to the line?
But we're not part of their world. What if in the pitching fraternity they all feel that way about it?
But if it's a fraternity, why say it?
Because you should almost respect it then. I mean, you know what I mean? Like he's breaking the code.
But you
that's
know,
how he feels.
Peter, they keep score by money. And the look was, under sticky stuff, he was able to sign that contract with the Yankees. Has not necessarily been the same pitcher, even though he's still been very good.
Right. You're saying a lot of hate's probably out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Jealousy. We'll be back in just a moment. Talk about more of this. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael's chewing on nuts, so welcome back to the show. The K Show on 98.7 ESPN and Yes.
If you want to know who's, they're mine. I got some nice cashews that
Don's
I brought
nuts.
In from home.
Don's nuts, to be exact.
And what do you call cashews again?
It's the candy of peanuts.
That's right.
Or the candy of nuts, I guess, is the better way
it really
to say it.
Is.
I mean, it's not. It's joyous.
But
really.
You know what? I mean, if you look at the fat content, Don, they really are the candy of nuts because they'll get you.
No, yeah, they'll get
Cashews will get you.
Yeah. Let's go to Dominic in Brooklyn. Dom?
Big Dominator.
Hey, guys. I'm not trying to get ranted today. That's the last thing I want.
That sounds like someone who wants to get ranted.
my dog, Peter, if you would. Don.
Yes.
You can't call the guy that we need to stick around most Shrek. You can't call him Shrek.
Oh, I agree.
You know what?
I agree.
You can disagree, and it's fine.
All right,
you
know but what? You having me, fun. No, it's, I hear what he's saying.
Shrek, done.
Dominic, it was outrageous. It was improper.
You know what?
I totally do not sign off on it.
Dominic,
it's disgraceful.
Dominic, I actually am with you. I think, in fact, Anthony should play the music, and Don should probably do the right thing here.
Please, let's get it going. It's a little delayed at this point, but the main thing we can say to keep him around is, he's in fourth, right? He should have been second. That's fair. Between Clooney and Captain America.
Sure. He's not. It's an embarrassing list.
Well, yeah.
And you don't even care that I called him Shrek. You're just afraid he's going to hear about this and not resign.
No,
because you agree with
him. I'm afraid he's going to hear about it.
Yeah, it's correct. Because you are on the Yes Network, Don. But
that's right.
Who am I?
Who am I?
Have a great day.
I don't think I'm going to enter in his decision-making process at all.
Dude.
I apologize for calling him Shrek.
Wow.
Okay, wow.
There's been some apologies today that we didn't expect, right, Peter?
Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe the
apology. Peter and I had a big, big blowout on Twitter, text.
We had a private one.
Yeah.
And
the initial salvo I heard.
Then I actually did something that he said, I know you don't do this. And I said, I apologize.
I killed him with that because I go, I know apologies aren't your thing.
They're not. But when you're wrong, you're
and
wrong.
And then he made a peace offering and brought me some delicious Reese's sticks.
Yeah, and you ate one.
Come on, it's the day. Thanksgiving's in 2 days, dude. I got to be mindful here.
You can't have an extra stick.
One stick was enough. I had a meal on Saturday night in
LA?
Long Beach.
Long Beach.
What a Long Beach, California.
Oh, I understand.
What a delightful meal. Coconut shrimp. You'll never know the joy.
I have had coconut shrimp.
That's the only shrimp you've had.
I had a bite once because I was at a Ruth Chris Steakhouse on a date.
Yeah.
And the woman said, if you take a bite of this, and then I'm not going to go. And I said, okay.
And was it terrible?
I like coconut. So that kind okay. of, I didn't like the texture. It really bothered me. Biting into the shrimp. Ugh.
Grossed you out a little bit.
It did. I'm not a big sea guy.
Shrimp by itself, I could take or leave. But if you've got...
I had coconut shrimp. I had oysters that night.
Stuffed shrimp.
Oysters.
All right, calm down over there, Bubba Gump.
I did only two.
Shrimp broil. Butter shrimp. Michael's chewing on nuts, so welcome back to the show.
If you want to know who's, they're mine.
Let's go to Mark in Mechanicville. Mark.
Yes.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are we doing?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm good.
I'm doing good. We got great. Coconut shrimp. We're talking about coconut shrimp and everything.
What's up, Mark?
Well, yeah, I was just calling about the judge. Okay. I mean, he's a great player and everything. But you got the young guy. You got Cabrera coming up. You got Badgers out there. You got Benintendi. Judge can't hit the playoffs. I mean, he's just like one like. But he had 11 strikeouts.
Mark, you do realize they don't get to the playoffs without Judge this year. There's no playoffs.
They do not. That's 1 year though.
But he said no. He's been a Yankee for 6 years. Three of them have been unbelievable. His rookie year, 2021, and this year. He had two injury plague years, and one was a COVID shortened year. So, I mean, Mark was going to go on to say he's going to get hurt. Really? Everybody's going to get hurt. Everybody gets hurt. Tell me the player that doesn't get hurt other than Cal Ripken Jr. Everybody's going to get hurt. So, when you say they have Benintendi, no, they don't. He's a free agent. Now, we had on Oswaldo Cabrera the other day. Lovely guy. He's not going to approximate what Judge does for you. Judge is a singular talent. That's why the Yankees are going more than they want to, because they realize how important he is to them in marketing and, most importantly, on the field. Does that mean they get him? No. It doesn't mean they get him, because once somebody becomes a free agent, you know what? He's up for grabs. There's 30 teams now that could bid for him. In spring training, there was one. Now there's 30. So, I'm sorry, you can't say he's going to get hurt, because then you can't sign anybody. Why'd you sign Rizzo for 2 years or 3 years? He's 32 years old. Why'd you sign Cole for 9 years? Then what you're saying is no free agent should ever be signed because of the fact they all get hurt. And the narrative that Judge gets hurt all the time is nonsense. It's nonsense. He's not a guy who gets hurt a lot.
Not anymore.
True. But, I mean, I don't want to speak for the individual that called, but he will be 31 in June.
I get it.
I can understand you being a little apprehensive about injury because he'll, midway through this contract, he's going to be in his mid-30s.
Right.
You're not signing a 23 or 24-year-old that's going to be his early 30s.
You're going into the contract knowing that. You got to have these next 4 years. And then you hope you get something out of the last however many years the contract is. You hope. You hope that he's at this level for four more years. And then you take your chances. And by then, because look at it now. When Manny Machado signed a $30 million a year contract, people's heads were exploding. Oh, my God. Bryce Harper, 30 years. $30 million. Oh, my God. The bargains now. In 4 years, this is one graph that always goes up. Even if you sign him into a $40 million a year deal, it's not going to be oppressive. Because then once Ohtani becomes a free agent, he's getting $50 million a year. $50 million a year. I guarantee it.
It's a guarantee from you.
Guarantee.
What if he were to get hurt, God forbid, next year?
It'd be terrible. But if there's one team that could absorb it, Peter, it's the Yankees.
No. What would you guaranteed $50 million for Ohtani?
Oh, if Ohtani blows his arm, no, of course not.
God forbid. But if he's healthy, he's $50 million man.
Because he's two players in one. Two.
That's
two.
Right.
Two players in one.
Right.
All right, we got some Giants to talk about. We'll revisit Zach Wilson. It's been a great show, if I must say so myself.
It really has.
It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.